Well, it's great to be able to worship in song, and I trust that you have been encouraged and inspired so far this morning. Happy New Year to all of you, and I pray that as we continue in our worship today, that as we study God's Word, that you will be deepened in your faith, you'll be encouraged deeply in your soul as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's continue our worship this morning as we go to our Father in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come before the God of this universe, the one who spoke this world into existence, and to know, Father, that you are absolutely in control and has never lost control. And Father, it is at the same time challenging to be living at this time and to be part of a community where we have been challenged with this virus, this Omicron right now, that has even limited us in being able to get together in person and worship. And yet we know, Father, you're not limited in any way. And yet we pray that as we worship you this morning, as we pay homage to you, that our worship will come up to you as acceptable fragrance. And that, Father, all that we do will bring glory and honor to you. I pray for all those who are sick and have been affected because of the pandemic. I pray that your healing hand will be with them. I pray for the congregation here in Ottawa that you will continue to watch over us as we remain faithful to you. In the name of Jesus, we offer this prayer, and we know every praise, glory, and honor is due you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, we are just so excited that you're able to join us this morning, be it if you're in the Ottawa area and part of this community, or you're part of this faith community, or some kind of community. We're thankful that you're able to join us because we love to worship God with other people joining us. And if you're watching this and you live outside of the Ottawa area, we want to encourage you to reach out to us to see how we can help you this morning as you journey and walk with our great God. You know, this is a new year. And one of the things that happens at New Year, and I understand it, there's a lot of memes and a lot of posts that talks about the idea, well, it's a new year, and I mean, everything is new, let's move forward, let's go. And sometimes there's this projection of hope. There's this projection of, man, that year is all gone. And it's as if almost sometimes by the turning of the calendar, everything changes. Well, we're 9 days into this year and we realize that's not necessarily true. And I understand the sentiments. The idea is, hey, man, let's leave the ugliness of the past behind and let's move forward with some positivity. But one of the challenges with that kind of mentality, when it's not of substance, is when we realize that our challenges do not simply go away by the turning of the calendar. As a matter of fact, our challenges still is right before us. I mean, not because the calendar changes, the virus, in our case, is going to go to sleep. Or that our financial, somehow with the new year, our bank account has been replenished somehow, somewhere, magically. Or even that maybe your health has gotten better because it's January of 2022. And I know that to be true because, I mean, my wife and I had a fantastic month of December. We spent some time with some families, with some friends. It was really, really encouraging and uplifting to the soul. And one of the things that we did is that we had a cousin's reunion. And part of this cousin's reunion is that a number of cousins got together and we were about my age. And we talked about, man, this is so fantastic. Let's do this often, if not every year. And about a month later, we got a note that one of the people that was gathered in that group passed away. And you realize that the turning of the calendar does not change that. As a matter of fact, today we'll be going to the funeral in the Hamilton area. You know, we came back from our trip and Melanie's mom, my mother-in-law, we had to take her to the hospital. And she's still there even as we speak today. And you realize that not because the calendar turned, that everything is new or everything has changed. And to our shock and surprise, when we came back and we came back to Ottawa, Melanie was not feeling well and she tested herself and she got the COVID virus. And to realize that not because the calendar changed, that doesn't mean life has necessarily always changed. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about having a faith that deals with these situations, that is not something that is the power of positive thinking. And I believe the mind is a powerful thing. But it's not based on substance. Then it's fantasy. And then when reality comes, a lot of times it's very difficult to deal with it. And so, if you're part of this faith community, and Wednesday night we began this time and we talked about this idea, how God is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And the idea that, and the title of our sermon today is the power to fulfill promises. Well, let's talk about that for a second. You know, there are a lot of people that can say a lot of things, but we trust what someone says based on their credibility, right? At least we ought to. In this day and age, it's not quite always that being the case. A lot of times now it's a marketing, guerrilla marketing of people. And it's quite an interesting thing, having worked in that area for a little bit. What happens, there are algorithms being made in whatever platform you're on, be it on a tablet or a cell phone or a laptop or even a PC. And there are algorithms being made and profiles being created for you and things being sent your way based on your searches. And a lot of times what happens is, based on these things, you are inundated with things that you like or things that you're familiar with. And the idea that floods our minds sometimes is that, oh my goodness, this must be really popular because all on my feed, I'm seeing all these things. And somehow, somewhere, there's this idea, this person's all over, therefore they must have some credibility. And this idea of marketing and pushing things down our throats are always running on our platforms that we use. And there are profiles being created for all of us. Ever notice that when you are actually looking for something and you realize, oh my goodness, how did they know? Well, it's based on your searches and it's based on the things that you do. A profile is created and things are being sent your way because they believe you are going to be interested in these kinds of things. Credibility is an important thing. Who says something is a very important part. Well, not it's believable. As a matter of fact, there are in the political world now, they say, well, a couple of things that you don't do. You don't ever apologize and you don't ever admit that you're wrong. And that is the thrust of a lot of people's political campaign. Don't apologize and don't ever admit that you're wrong. And for those who are, shall I say, even gullible, buy into these kinds of things. And the bolder that someone says something, sometimes we start believing it. But a promise is only as good as he or she who makes that promise or can make good on that promise. Simply making a promise does not mean that that promise is necessarily valid. And so what the scripture does, the scripture uses the stories in the Bible and tells of these incredible scenarios so that we can build our faith. Not on fantasy, but based on God's word. And so that's what I want to do this morning. Spend a few minutes and talk about this idea of God having the power to fulfill his promises. You know, if I were to tell you that, hey, this is how you sing a song and this is how you carry the note, and if any of you know me, realize I have zero credibility in that area. I cannot carry a tune, not even in a bucket. But some other areas of life that based on what people know of me, there's some credibility to what we are going to say. However, me making promises, doesn't matter how nice of a guy I am or how much I believe what I'm saying to be true, but if I'm not able to fulfill that promise, then that promise is empty. And so what God does, he helps us to understand one of the main reasons of the scriptures is to help us to understand how awesome our God is and how much we can trust in his promises. And today I want to spend a couple of minutes both with the life and the overview of the life of Abraham and the life of Jesus, and to see the credibility that God has given these people's experiences, and therefore ultimately how we can trust what he says and have deep faith that actually helps us to overcome challenges like a virus, challenges like health, challenges like death, challenges with our emotions. And so we'll start this morning in the book of Romans. And Paul does an incredible job helping us to understand who Abraham is. And so we pick it up in chapter 4, verse 16. He says this, "Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham." So he is the father of us all. And so Paul does an incredible job. You should examine it sometime to establish that Abraham is the father of faith for all, because he established that Abraham believed God before he was circumcised, and when he was circumcised, how he also trusted God, and therefore became a father of faith in the sense for those who are of the Jewish background and those who are of the Gentile background because of his faith and trust in God. And he does an incredible job helping us to understand. Not that Abraham is our ancestor from a chronological sense, but from a faith sense, in that he trusted God before he was circumcised and after he was circumcised. And so it says this, it continues, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations." Because of Abraham's faith in God, God made a promise to him. God said to him, "I am going to make you a father, not only of many, but also of many nations." And he makes this promise based on the fact that Abraham was faithful to him. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the challenges of that and how ultimately God fulfilled that promise that he made to Abraham in the book of Genesis. And so it says this, "He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into things being that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And here's the text for the title of our sermon, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Now, there's a lot in there. Some of the things that are there is very powerful. And Paul alludes to the fact that God is a God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that were not. And what he was referring to there to, of course, that Abraham's seed was dead. He was 99 years old when the angel appeared to him and said, by this time next year, you're going to have a child. And Abraham's response was, I'm 100 years old, basically, and my seed is dead. And Sarah, when she, who was 90 years old, when she heard it, she laughed because she thought, you're obviously out of your mind. You've got the wrong couple here. You see, what had happened about 25 years earlier, God had appeared to Abraham and made this promise to him. And a long time had passed, and this promise seemed to be, how is it going to be fulfilled? Abraham thought and figured out, hey, maybe God has provided a maidservant in the name of Hagar. Maybe that's how he's going to fulfill this promise. And he actually went and slept with his maidservant and had a child. But that was not what God had promised to him, that he was going to have, be the father of many nations and of many, as a matter of fact, as many as he, as there were sands on the seashore, as there were stars in the sky. And when it appeared, everything was dead. When Abraham's seed, so to speak, was dead, when Sarah's womb was dead, that's what the God who calls things even though they're not, and that's the God who gives life to the dead. And so what happens? Remarkably, a year later, a child was born to the barren womb of Sarah. And that child, of course, was Isaac. And Isaac was actually, he was named Isaac because it means she laughs. Because that was her response when she first heard that she was going to have a child. And of course, if you know the story of Abraham well, Abraham was not always filled with faith. There are challenges in his life as he was journeying on this earth. At one time when he came face to face with King Abimelech, he lied and he said Sarah was not his wife, but was his sister. And in a manner of speaking, it was half true. And there are a lot of times we try, you know, to circumvent what God asked us to do with half-truths, with the mentality, all's well that ends well. If what ultimately we accomplish, if it doesn't matter if we're sort of betraying God or we're not exactly doing what he asks us to do, as long as we're trying to do the right things, sometimes we justify our actions. And that's what Abraham tried to do. He tried to do that with King Abimelech when he thought Sarah's life was in danger. And he thought, let me figure this out. God has given me an intellect. Let me figure out how to save my wife's life. Or when he figured out, maybe this is how God was going to give me and bless me and be a father of many nations is through Ishmael and Hagar. But ultimately, we realize that this concept and this idea of who, how great this God is, that he was now fulfilling that promise that he made to Abraham. Now here, interestingly, Isaac now becomes, was starting to grow up. And God told Abraham, you need to go up to a mountain and you need to have a sacrifice up on the mountain. And he told him to take his son with him. you know the story well, or even not that well, Abraham was asked by God to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And when he was about to slay his son, God provided a sacrificing a ram caught in the thicket. And God said to Abraham, now I know that you trust me, basically. And the Bible tells us that Abraham figuratively thought that even if he were to slay his son, because that's what God asked him to do, that God was going to raise him from the dead. And the idea that God was able to fulfill his promise to Abraham, in spite of what the challenges were, was phenomenal. And Abraham, because of his trust in God, in spite of the insurmountable challenges, in spite of the fact that his seed was dead, his wife's womb was dead, he was asked to slay his son. He realized that God is a God who turns the dead into life. And that the fact that God is more glorified when we trust him, when the odds look ridiculous. You know how I know that to be true? Today, we're still talking about Abraham's faith and inspiring you and inspiring me about trusting our great God because of feats of faith. Trusting God. Trusting God when it appears, but not because he simply says so, because he has the power to fulfill what he has promised. And of course, we know the story of when ultimately the Israelites went into Egypt and had multiplied and become a nation of millions of people and have been in captivity for 400 years. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, when God was ready to fulfill his promise to Abraham, many years later, and he used a man by the name of Moses. Moses, too, was a flawed man. He tried to take matters into his own hands, just like Abraham tried to take matters into his own hands. And God had to teach him, trust me. Trust me, Moses. And ultimately, how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, had them stay in the wilderness for 40 years because God, that generation had to die out because they did not trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob anymore. And how they ultimately went to the land flowing with milk and honey. And God made this promise that he made to Abraham come to fruition when they went back into Canaan. And they were spread all over the land. They became a father of many nations. That there was not going to be anyone or anything or any odds that seemed so remarkably challenging. And we see that Abraham, for sure, was someone who trusted God and ultimately gave God the glory because of the faith that he had. When things that looked in front of him looked challenging, and I know that for me. As I come back and I realize, man, all these situations that are going around, we had to come back, we had to be quarantined. Melanie's mom had to go to the hospital. How are we going to deal with this? Do we give up? Do we shake our fist at God and say, hey, why me? What the scripture does, the scripture helps us to understand that we ought to follow in the footsteps of Abraham, being fully assured that what God has promised to us, that he is able to fulfill. You know, Do we believe that? Do we believe in the promises of God? Do we take shortcuts? Do we at times take matters into our own hands? Let me ask you a question. Abraham's faith became so glorious, so incredible. It glorified God in such a great way because it showed that God can and will do the great things. What does our faith show about our God? This idea of trusting God through this pandemic is not based on some kind of philosophy and some kind of positive thinking. It's ultimately putting our trust in our God who is able to fulfill promises. And we'll look at some promises in a second. But the idea that God was able to fulfill what he promised Abraham from such an early age, and even though it took a while for that promise to be ultimately fulfilled, that he had the power to fulfill what he promised. Is that the God that we trust? That he believed God? Now, here's why I think Abraham was so phenomenal. Why he is called historically the father of faith. We today can look back at the death of Christ and know that God has raised him from the dead. Abraham couldn't look back at something and says, oh, we know God raised Christ from the dead. Therefore, that's what he's going to do with Isaac. The Bible tells us and describes Abraham when God told him to go. The Bible says Abraham obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. Man, I traveled a number of cities over the last month. I was not insecure at one moment. You know why? I had GPS. It literally takes me wherever I go. And even if I get lost, the GPS recorrects itself and it says, this is where you're going. Abraham had no idea when God says, get up and go. But he simply obeyed and went. He trusted God. He trusted that God was able to fulfill what he promised. And one of the most important aspects of the Old Testament was to actually help us to understand that very fact, how God is trustworthy, and to understand the very fact that Abraham's promise to him was fulfilled, even though it was done years later, and that God can be trusted. Not based on some mantra, not based on some meme, but based on what he is and the ability to fulfill what he has promised. And ultimately, that's what God did with Abraham. You can see that that's the way that Abraham lived his life, and the fact that he trusted God, it affected how he lived. He realized that he needed to make decisions in his life based on the fact that God was going to fulfill his promises. You know, we were a little different than Abraham. Abraham had a faith that looked towards the future, that this fulfillment of what God promised was going to be in the future. We have like a double kind of faith. One that looks back in the past on what Christ has done for us on the cross, and the fact that all our sins have been forgiven based on the atonement of Jesus Christ, the unblemished sacrifice, and that Christ too was raised from the dead as the firstborn from among many, and that one day we too can be raised from the dead just as God's one and only Son was raised from the dead. And so we look back with that, saying that we see precedence. We see that God was faithful in that he fulfilled the idea of the atonement for our sins, but also that the hope of a resurrection. Abraham didn't have that ability. But rather, he looked forward. And now God was immensely glorified based on the faith that he had put in God. He literally put his entire life and his family's life in the hands of God. And he trusted God and he obeyed God. Do you trust God that he's able and he's willing to fulfill his promises to you? In the book of Romans, it tells us that God works for the good of those who love him. Do you believe that God works this all ultimately for the good? Can you imagine if we actually lived like that? What would our security be like? How would we react to things? That when God promises that he's going to be with us to the very end of the age, do we believe that? Do we entrust ourselves to that? When God says in the book of Isaiah that he will help us and strengthen us and uphold us. Man, I love what God says in Isaiah 43. I think I really need to read that and encourage us with this. It says this. But this is what in Isaiah chapter 43 verses 1 and 2, it says this. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do we believe that? Do we believe it when it says that God will meet all of our needs? In Philippians 4? That ultimately the God will protect us and guide us safely into heaven? See, when we really truly believe these things, it affects how we live here on earth. It affects our mentality. That it gives us a peace that transcends all understanding. It gives us a security that is pandemic proof. Because these are the promises that God made. That whole story and the elaboration of the story about how God fulfilled his promises to Abraham was so that we can trust his words. We can trust him when he says these things. When we trust these things, our comfort will not be found on the securities of this earth. And we will sing songs like, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up way beyond the blue. We sing that song with passion and with energy. And we seek the kingdom and we seek it first. And we take risks to love people. And it makes God and his glory shine even more. You know, that doesn't mean that we're always going to act perfectly. We see it in Abraham's life. I mean, you think about Jesus. Here's Jesus walking this earth. And as he was walking this earth, he made some promises. One of the promises he said, there are many rooms. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going to prepare a place for you. If it were so, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to come back. And I'm going to come back for you. Take heart. Take heart. And yet, as we was, Jesus knew his destiny. I mean, he preached messages to the fellow disciple. He says, hey, for you, anytime is right, not so for me. I've got a goal and I've got to meet that goal. And the goal ultimately is to die on a cross. But even while he was going to the cross, here's some of the words that he said. He said, why have you forsaken me? That it was so hard. He felt as if God the Father had forsaken him. And another time, even while he was on the cross, he asked as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was about to go to the cross, he says, Father, is there another way? Is there another cup to drink? That if the Christ himself asked these penetrating questions, how much more so us? And so stumbling, or sometimes even asking questions, is not the end of the world. Or some stumbling, or some physical ailments, or some momentary trials. Even the greatest, like Abraham and Jesus, ask some questions. But ultimately, what Jesus said in the book of Luke, in verse 23, speaks volumes and forms an inspiration for us all. In Luke 23, this is what Jesus says as he was battling the challenges of the cross, as he saw his friends leaving him, as he saw him being deserted by two of his best friends and being sold as a way to one of his friends to gain money. One of his friends denied him, then all of them left him. And he was wondering, he was going through so much torment and so much pain. Luke tells us that he was sweating drops of blood. Jesus did not run to the cross and say, come on, I'm so fired up. It was challenging, and sometimes it's challenging even for us. And the turning of the calendar sometimes doesn't change the challenges that are with us. And I can tell you from experience, like I shared with you, death and hospitalization and sickness, the calendar did not change that. But our steadfastness to God and our trust in his promises ultimately needs to be like Jesus when he says in verse 46 in Luke 23, he says this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. Sometimes when we are at the end of our rope, is not the time to push God away, but to ultimately entrust ourselves to him. Because God is able to fulfill his promises. He has the power, the desire to do it, as he did with his son, as he did with Abraham. That whole story is for us to understand God is credible. He is credible. Will you hold on to the promises of God, even when there are challenges that are right before us? Not by turning the calendar, but that looking at this Jesus, looking at the father of faith in Abraham, and ultimately looking to our God. And he says, I'm coming back for you. I'm working this for the good. I'm not oblivious to the pandemic. But honestly, I trust my God. Of course I'm gonna, I just had my booster shot, my third one. I will wear the mask and do, and comply with the public health measures. But I'm not living in fear. God has never lost control. Not even when his son was dying. If he, his son, not sparing death, not sparing challenges, not sparing emotional turmoil, not sparing disappointment, not sparing another way, wanting another way. If God did not spare his son, why do we think sometimes, man, I shouldn't have to go through this? Really? You better than Jesus? You better than Abraham? You better than Moses? You're better than David? And the list goes on and on and on. So this morning, the idea of having the power to fulfill his promises is based on what God did with Abraham and what God did with Jesus. And so as we reflect on the communion right now, we take this communion emblematic of the fact that God is able to fulfill his promise, that when his son died and he said, if you were to put your trust in me, your sins will be forgiven. That if you were to put your trust and obey the words and repent and be baptized, your sins will be forgiven. Not based on the baptism, but based on what God's promise, his ability to fulfill that promise. And so every Sunday we take a communion to be able to remind us that this is what it's all about. You know, if you're in the Ottawa area, I want to encourage you. We have a number of communities that we're a part of, and you want to partake with us, please reach out to us, and we'd love to reach out to you and help you in your journey as you walk with our dear God. I want to encourage you not to trust the turning of a calendar page for hope. Not for trusting in some kind of meme or some kind of philosophy, but trust in the promises of God based on what he did with Abraham and based on what he did with Jesus. And we can look back on Jesus and we look forward with Jesus. Abraham could only look forward. That's the kind of faith that he had. And by the way, the more trust we put in our God, the more glorified he is to the world. And I trust, as people who are people of faith, if you're one of those, that your faith during this pandemic shows how great our God is and how much he can be trusted. Let us pray. Father, we're just so grateful that your son died for our sins. We're thankful for his death because it meant life for us. And as we take these communion emblems, I pray, Father, that we're reflective on the power that you possess and your ability to fulfill those promises. And Father, because of that, we don't live in fear. That doesn't mean we don't have challenges like all your people have had. But we know ultimately, when you make a promise, you will fulfill it. And we lean on that. And Father, when the challenges come, we want to be like your son, is to lean in when the challenges come, not to lean away. And to lean in like him when he said, into your hands, we commit ourselves. Thank you for the death of Christ because it meant life for us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.